the heart. And then we looked at the stony soil, being that of a selfish heart, worldly hunger, shallowness of spiritual life. Last Sunday, we looked at the thorn-infested soil, the unsanctified heart, or the soil of good intentions. Now we find yet one more soil that Christ calls good ground. Good ground, he said. But when I look at this good ground, I would ask myself the question, what made it good ground? Was it good ground all on its own, all by itself? Was it good ground naturally? I suppose that in the literal sense, you can find some good ground that is good ground without having to do anything to it. There is some ground like that. It's not stony, it's not thorny, it's not hard-packed, but it can produce a good crop. Let's look at the scripture here, Matthew chapter 13, reading verses 8, 9, and 23. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Dropping down to verse number 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. We can look through the scriptures and try to find an answer as to what made this ground good, or give us an understanding about what kind of soil this is. What we would find about the soil, or the different aspects of the soil, might be startling to us. Romans chapter 3, beginning reading at verse number 9, it tells us, Paul's writings here, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. If that be the truth, and I hope that you're responding with a little bit of a shock, why, yes, preacher, that's the truth. If that be the truth, then what are we to do? How are we to come to the place where we have good soil? How are we to come to the time when we have good soil? If what we just read out of Romans 3 is true, that there is none righteous, there is none good, no, not one. I'm not sure if we can make an accurate judgment call in this or not, but allow me to attempt to give some examples, at least, of the types of the bad soil that have been given. First of all, we looked at the wayside soil, that being of the hardened heart. There's at least three different Gospels that give us a different rendition of what takes place around the crucifixion in this particular part of the story. Matthew's account of it tells us that there were thieves on both sides of the Savior, and Matthew's account tells us that both thieves reproached Christ. You go over to the book of Mark and you'll find the same thing taking place there. Mark's word, though, is that they both reviled him. Their hearts were hard. The seed was falling on soil that was apparently the wayside soil. It wasn't penetrating. It wasn't springing up into life. There was nothing going on here. These men were at the verge of crossing the line of worlds, as it were, and they seemed to have not received the seed of God's word. But somehow, sometimes, something changed, because in the book of Luke we find that there's a little different story. Luke says that one of them was rebuking the other one because of the reviling of the other one. I don't know which one was which. Doesn't really matter. But let's say the one on the right side of Christ was really continuing with his reproachful words and reviling the Savior. And the one on the left must have shut up somewhere in the midst of that day or sometime during that day. And he recognized that there was something different about this man to the point that he then began to rebuke the one on the right that was still reviling. And then he turned to Christ himself, the best that he could, and he said something to the effect of, "Have mercy on me." That brings to mind that what causes one person to be bitter may cause another person to be better. Did you ever wonder what causes that? I have. I've wondered that so many times. The very same things that would cause my brother to be bitter didn't seem to affect me that way. I don't know if it made me better or not, but it didn't seem to affect me with the bitterness. I wonder if it's because we have within our power, within our grasp, the ability to allow one or the other. We have the ability to choose. I can say that that is going to make me bitter, or I can say that that is going to make me better. I have within my grasp the ability to choose whether or not my soil is going to be wayside soil, hardened, packed down, or broken up. Then we look at the stony soil. Perhaps we could use Paul, or more properly called Saul of Tarsus. Because Paul was a good man, Saul of Tarsus was a man that was living in the realm of shallow religion. A lot of outwards and a lot of things and a lot of shaping up, but there was nothing down inside. It was all shallow living. If you can imagine his heart being the heart of the stony soil, the Holy Spirit began to jostle an earthquake a little bit in that soil to where the stones began to rub against him and cause him to be a little sore. Then there's that thorn-infested soil. I don't know. I suppose that we could use a man that we know very little about. Actually, I think he's only mentioned perhaps two times in the New Testament. Paul calls him Demas. And in the writings of Paul, when he uses the word or the name Demas, he said that Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Apparently, Demas looked good for a while. Demas walked the walk and he talked the talk for a while. He showed up at church when he was supposed to show up at church. Paul was impressed with Demas. He took him along with him. He traveled with Paul. But something grew up. Something came up. Perhaps Demas had not counted the cost of the cross. He turned back to what he thought he had left. Peter looked good. Peter was pretty good looking in the sense that he said, Lord, I'll go with you. I'll follow you all the way. Even if it were to death, I'll be right there by your side. But when the thorns of persecution came up around him, they choked out the seed. And Peter fell. That's not the end of the story for Peter. We find the story continuing on for him, and we notice that he came back, and this time when he came back, he brought forth much fruit. Let's come back to our question of earlier. What are we to do? What can we do? How can we come to the time when we have good soil? Well, let's take a look at what this good soil is. B.C. Caffin said, such a heart offers no hindrance to the growth of the divine seed. I would like for us just to stop there and spend about 10 minutes in silence pondering that thought. We won't, but I'd like for us to. Let me read it to you again. Such a heart offers no hindrance to the growth of the divine seed, to the gracious inworking of the Holy Spirit of God. The soil is deep. There are no thorn roots. Or rather, they have been extirpated by diligent care. The soil is deep. There are no thorn roots. Or rather, they have been extirpated by diligent care. The good soil, the good ground. What is this good ground? What is it made of? What does it consist of? What is it that Christ is wanting out of the heart that has good soil? Well, I believe that first of all, we can understand that the good soil, the soil of the soul, will be an honest and a sincere heart. The old timers used to call it Judgment Day honesty. Do we understand what Judgment Day honesty is? I'm talking about the old timers that would bring us in and drag us over the very flames of hell and tell us how horrible hell is. Tell us how wonderful heaven is. And then tell us that when we get to the judgment seat of God, there's going to be perfect judgment and just sentencing. No suave lawyers to twist and to turn and try to find a loophole or a way around. Judgment Day honesty is just plain, clear, clean honesty. An honest, sincere soul is one like David where he said, search my heart, search me, O God, and know me, try me, see me, let me see myself as you see me. Judgment Day honesty. Sincerity. Knowing that my life is but a vapor and that it vanisheth away and only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's not scripture, but it's a good poem. Honest, sincere heart. The second thing I notice about the good soil or the good ground is not only an honest and a sincere heart, but an obedient heart. Perhaps my children are more normal than I want to admit. Right now, they are sitting down here chomping, wanting to know what is coming next. Several years ago, and something took place in our home. I wrote it down. my oldest child came to me and asked a question. As a matter of fact, the question was requesting permission to do something. Being the good dad that I am, I said no. But she kept on. She added a little bit of wine to her cheese. Dads, you know what girls can do. Blink the eyes, make a little bit of tears come. She asked again. And I said to her, I said, what did I already tell you? Now here's the part that jumps out at me. This is what she said. I know what you said, but I was hoping that you'd change your mind. How many of your kids have ever done that? Maybe I could ask the question, how many of you have ever done that? So many people do that with God. Maybe it's because they learned it from their earthly dad. You know, if I keep after him, if I bat my eyelashes, cry a little bit, whine and dine him a little bit, rub his shoulders, tell him how wonderful he is, how much I love him, that he will finally give in. Maybe there's some listening tonight that are that way. You know, Balaam of old did that with God. Didn't accept the first answer. We know what the end result was for Balaam. God finally allowed him to do what he already said no to. The end result wasn't good. The heart that is good soil is that of an honest heart and an obedient heart. And thirdly, I find it's very similar to the second one, but it's a faithful heart. The good soil of the soul consists of being faithful. Faithful to what, you say? Well, faithful to the task that He's called us to. We've all been called to a task. We've all been called to be His witnesses. We've all been called to be salt and light. Salt and light, so that we have an effect on the people around us. So that we have an influence with people that we come in contact with. You know people like that, don't you? You either love them or you hate them. They're having an effect in your life. I suppose that there's people like that around that look at us. They either love us or they hate us. They love us because they see the joy, they see the pleasantness. They hate us because it goes against everything that they want, everything that they desire. Can't stand to have that kind of opposition around. I've known people like that. I've had people just hate me, apparently, for just being a preacher. Played basketball with some guys in Evansville for a while that just, they absolutely hated me, and I never understood why. Until it came out that it's just because I was the preacher. Faithful to do the task. Faithful to go the distance. All the way my Savior leads me. It's easy for us sometimes to stand up and say, I want to go all the way through with God. I want to go all the way through with Him. Faithful heart will help us go the distance. A faithful heart will also help us make the crooked path straight. In other words, restitutions. And be joyful in doing them. The fourth aspect about this good soil, I find, not only is an honest heart, an obedient heart, and a faithful heart, but also I will find in here, or I can find in here, that the soil of the soul that is good is also a jealous heart. Hold steady. It's not a bad jealousy. When the soil accepts the seed, it is jealous for that seed. It holds that seed. It retains that seed. It doesn't want the birds to come and gather that seed. Are you jealous for the cause of Christ? The jealous heart doesn't want the stones to stunt the growth of the seed. Doesn't want the thorns to choke out the seed or the sun to scorch the young plant that comes from the seed. Now, sometimes it may be that I would be accused of being over jealous, or maybe they would say over zealous. But I am of the opinion that we as Christians must abstain from the appearance of evil. I believe that that's scripture. And in abstaining from the appearance of evil, there are times that we need to be very careful about how close we get to evil workings. Maybe that's too general. Maybe we need to be a little more specific. The evil workings of our associates. How close do we entangle ourselves with people who are non-believers? Now, don't go out of here and say that I believe in separation to the point where we abstain from all contact. Not saying that. We must have contact. We must have some contact with the world in order to win them. But we need to be very careful about the closeness that we have with them or the associations that we might have with them so that their feelings rub off on us. You take someone that is overly critical about the way of holiness or the way of Christianity, and it won't be very long till it begins to rub off and you'll begin to question in your mind yourself a lot of things. You say, there's nothing wrong with questioning. There is something wrong with questioning when it's based in cynicism. I think I read something about that just this week. Oh, I want to know why we do what we do and why we believe the way we believe, but I want to know it for myself so that I can establish it in my life to pass it on to those around. I'm not looking for answers to questions out of a cynical heart or desire to throw things away. We need to be careful and jealous about the soil or the seed that God gives to us in the way that we partake of worldly things. Again, that may be a little too general. One of the biggest cries that I have against Hollywood and what it produces and what it portrays to the American people or the world people in general all across the globe, I suppose, is that it is a subtle desensitization to sin. Making things look not quite as bad as what they really are. It's a slow, subtle desensitizing. That goes along with music. I know we have differences of opinions and differences of tastes when it comes to the style of music. We're talking about the soil of our soul being effective in producing, the soil of our soul being such that it is not hindered by anything that would allow that seed to produce and to grow and to be fruitful. I know that Mylon is a GBS fan through and through. Kids had some music going on in the house this afternoon. I looked at it to see what it was. And it was some CDs from God's Bible School. Go ahead, jump up and down, say, hey, hallelujah. wonderful, spirit-filled. It was just a spirit of worship. I was there by myself listening. Oh, it was wonderful. The sound was professional. It was well done. I don't know how anybody could find fault with that kind of music. But then, when it got to the end of that CD and went to the next CD, it was like darkness and light, or light to darkness. I won't say who was singing the next group of songs, but it was a big difference. It was a big change. And I suppose that if that second CD had been playing first, it wouldn't have sounded quite as bad. You know, we get used to it. But because of the contrast was there, the sweet spiritual worship of the songs from the several of these groups, and then suddenly the crassness of this other group. Wow! It took me aback. And again, had I heard that particular song just out of the clear blue, it may not have sounded nearly as bad as what it hit me as. So I'm not trying to be critical of that particular song, but the comparison. You can see the change that takes place when you compare two different styles. And I believe that we need to be ever so careful and jealous of the seed so that we do not allow the influences that are around us eat away or hinder that growth. The fifth thing that I notice about this soil, the good soil, is that it is a fruitful heart. I don't know if there's any significance. There's probably not. It's just a tidbit of information here. There's three types of bad soil, and Jesus gives three levels of fruit bearing. Again, I don't know if there's anything significant about it. Probably not, but just stood out. Three bad soils, three levels of production. Somebody said in the Biblical Illustrator, the fruit 30-fold seems to represent the case of those who fear. 60-fold, the case of those who hope. The 100-fold, those who love. Thirtyfold, those who fear. 60-fold, those who hope. 100-fold, those who love. That's what I want my heart to be. I want my heart to be good soil, full of love, filled with love. John Wesley calls it perfect love. I want the soil of my soul to produce 100-fold. The song that was sung tonight, He bore... Oh... And he used the word my, or words my iniquities. He bore, in spite of, out of a heart of love, may I bear 100-fold. But listen again to what Paul said in Romans 3:12. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Let's come back to our question that we've already posed at two different times. What am I to do? How can I come to the place where I have good soil? Soil that is fit to produce a heavenly return. Again, let me quote from Ralph Earle, another one of our theologians. Listen carefully. By the aid of the ever-willing Spirit, we can break up the fallow ground of our hearts. The removal of the stoniness of latent self-will and spiritual hardness is a promised privilege inherent in the new covenant, and is exactly what occurs in sound repentance and more radically in entire sanctification. As for the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, the watchful, cleansed, spirit-filled believer can refuse to allow temporal concerns to monopolize his attention and choke out his spirituality. The watchful, cleansed, spirit-filled believer can refuse to allow Steve Green years ago used to sing the song, "Guard Your Heart." I don't know if Steve Green's very popular anymore. I haven't heard him, haven't followed him either, so I don't know. He was pretty mellow a number of years ago. Guard your heart. The soil of the soul. Ralph Earle's thoughts here bring me to the point where I would draw a circle around myself, and you can do the same thing for yourself. Draw a circle around yourself and say, "Lord, is there anything here that will hinder the growth of your seed? Is there anything here that will hinder productivity or fruitfulness? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any iniquity, or see if there be any unfruitfulness or root or stone or hardness." Let's stand together this evening.